Welcome to the Custom Apparel Startups Podcast, your best source for information, news, tips, and tricks to get you off the ground running and earn success with your custom apparel decorating business. So get ready to soak up some knowledge. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Mark.
Hey everyone, this is Mark Stevenson from Coldesi.
And Mark Vila from Coleman & Company, and today we're on episode 69.
Yes.
And we're talking about the science of upselling. Okay, so what we've done is we have a trilogy. So
yes.
This is the science of upselling. So this is kind of getting, we're going to get into persuasion.
Yes.
And really just the best way to talk to customers.
And we agreed that this is it for the trilogy too. So
yeah.
That's really a contract. And I just want to point out a couple of things.
Okay.
We're going to be announcing this, the title and who we are again a few times during the podcast. It should last maybe 45 minutes. Sometimes we get long-winded, and it's an hour. So expect us to break in every once in a while just for people that are joining us. If you go on Facebook and type your questions, we'll try to do the technology thing and answer your questions. We appreciate the feedback and the participation. And the last thing is, we said episode 69.
Yes.
Which means there are about 68 hours of podcast based on small business information.
Yep.
For the custom apparel business specifically. So go to customapparelstartups.com and, you know, listen to every single one of them before the next podcast.
Yeah, go back and, you know, everyone kind of consumes their podcasts in their own way, if you've listened to podcasts before. So if you don't listen to podcasts, a way you can do it in your car or while you're working, this is the first time you're maybe just watching this and want to know how you can just listen.
Yes.
Is if you have an iPhone, there's a podcast app. And you download the app, spelt just like it sounds, and then you search for Custom Apparel Startups, or CAS Podcast.
Yep.
You'll find us, you hit subscribe, and then you will get a notification on your phone when there's new ones, and you can open up the app, and you just click play.
Yep.
And listen. If you have an Android device or Google phone or something like that, same thing, go to the Google Play Store and search for podcast.
Yep.
And you will find the ways that you can download podcasts and subscribe similar to how you can on the iPhone. As you mentioned, you can also go to customapparelstartups.com and
yes.
You can click a play button and just listen from your laptop.
And we're live on YouTube right now.
Yeah, we're live on YouTube.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, so we're in so many places at once and they're on in the future. So
yeah.
If you prefer our website, if you prefer social media, wherever you are, we're going to try to be there. And we're going to be going live more and more often, building up a live audience for people to participate.
Yes.
So hopefully we get a little bit of participation today, but this is only our second live.
Yeah.
So why don't we get into the podcast?
I like it. So the
okay.
Science of upselling. Mark, why don't you set this up for us? Because, you know, you read this book doing research for the podcast, and it really has had an impact on our last two or three. So why don't you start there?
Yeah. So I'm always just searching for marketing and business books. You know, I've got two books going on at once.
Yeah.
At all times, a fiction and a business one. And I found this one, it's called Influence by Robert Cialdini.
Yep.
And he talks about basically the psychology of persuasion.
Right.
And so it's a really great book. I learned a ton of stuff. But one thing to mention is, not that he talks about it, but we need to talk about it. Persuasion's not manipulation.
Right. So
we
spent 65 episodes avoiding the S word, which is sales.
Yeah.
Because, you know, honestly, that's what you guys are all doing. If you are a small business person, whether or not you like it or realize it, you don't actually get paid for making t-shirts or for physically doing embroidery. You get paid when you make a transaction and somebody buys that. Somebody gives you money for that.
Mm-hmm.
So just like that is sales, and we try to talk about that in different ways, we're really not talking about persuasion in the sense you go into a car dealership and they spend the next 3 hours convincing you that you cannot leave without this car. You know, we're talking about ways to talk to your customers that will inspire and motivate them to either make a purchase or make a larger purchase than they had thought they would.
And the big thing is that people can buy t-shirts anywhere.
Yes.
All right. They can buy custom apparel, caps, shirts, and all the accessories you sell anywhere. They can go to Target or Walmart and buy something not custom.
Yep.
They can order from a big brand that's online that offers custom apparel.
And no matter how inexpensively you sell your shirts or how beautiful your shirts are, there is someone that is probably just as good, just as cheap.
Yep.
And just as available as you are.
Yeah, and there's somebody who has a different technology for decorating shirts, and there's somebody who believes a brand or a style is better.
Yes.
Right? That's not always equal. So what you're going to do, and as you improve the way you talk to your customers with persuasion, is you're going to help to show them that you are an expert, that you do make a great garment at a great and at a really good price,
yep.
or at a fair price, or whatever, or it's got value to it.
Yeah,
more importantly,
these things and the last three podcasts, really, these things are what differentiates you from that other business. Mm-hmm. These are ways that you can talk to your customers that give them reasons, that give them motivations, and that inspire them to buy from you instead of the competition.
Yes, because they, like I said, they can go anywhere. So let's go into it. We've got six things that we're going to talk about today. And some of them...
Six.
Yes, six.
I decide visual aids
were okay,
important.
Okay, six things. Six things in episode 69. Yes. We're just all over the place. So, reciprocity is the first thing I'll bring up.
What does that mean?
So, we talked about it in the past two episodes. So, if you haven't listened, you should. Yep. But in reciprocity, essentially what it means is that socially, when somebody is given something mm-hmm. or a favor is done for them, they feel an obligation to provide the favor back or do something back. It's just something that's natural.
It's
what we do. And we've talked about it before, but you go into the store where they sell chocolate chip cookies at the mall, and you go in there and they give you a piece of a cookie and maybe a sip of some coffee to taste that they make there as well. So a husband and wife, they go in there, they each take a sample of a cookie, and they each take a sip of coffee, and then when one of them leans over and says, well, we have to buy something, right? And it's like, well, why do you have to? You do not have to. They gave you this completely for free. There was no obligation, but you feel unnatural, like you're compelled.
Yeah, there's an urge to do that.
Yeah, just
buy a cookie. Now, this doesn't work for everybody.
Yes.
100% of the time. I mean, there are college students that go to the food court and they just eat the samples.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's how they get through college. And you might be one of the people like me who declines a sample or keeps walking. But a large percentage of the people, most people will respond just in the way that Mark was talking.
Yes. And also, 100% of us respond to this in some way.
Yeah.
So for me, it might work with the sample of coffee, and then I feel compelled to buy a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Or for you, it might not. But it's going to work for us in all different ways. So when you're learning to kind of work with reciprocity with your customers, you're going to have to learn with your business, with your customer type, what are some things you can do for them as a favor that will help you upsell.
Yeah, and it could be a combination of things. You know, we talked about the free cap example,
mm-hmm.
but you know, if you have a retail location, it may also be something just to have people to encourage people to stay in your store longer.
Yeah.
So they have a longer time. It's why if you go into a car dealership, you know, one of the first things they offer after you sit down is a can of Coke or a bottle of water. Because you'll sit there and you'll finish it. Well, you'll drink a lot of it and it's sticky. It keeps you in one place. They did this for me, so I'm gonna finish my coffee or, you know, things like that.
Yeah, and it's true. And we have a comment about this, which it's funny, but I think it's making a point here. Brandon says, I've been giving away one rhinestone as a giveaway, but I haven't gotten any sales. Right?
That's great.
And actually, it's a great point is that you have to match what it is to what you expect to get back.
Right.
So yes, if you gave away one rhinestone, you should probably expect nothing. It has no value. However, if you gave away
the value is 0.007 cents.
Yes, actually, we have these numbers memorized.
Yeah.
But yes, if you actually have a rhinestone sample, say you make a sticker.
Yeah.
For them with their logo, or maybe just like a yellow ribbon or something that's kind of like a standard free giveaway or an American flag, something like that. And you give this away. By the way, I do rhinestones.
Yeah.
So what you've done is you've given them something for free.
Yep.
You've done a favor for them. And then you've made an offer back. Hey, by the way, I offer Rhinestone Apparel. Yeah. I could do stickers for you, shirts, anything like that. Here's one for free. And all I ask in return is you tell me how you like it, and if you need some, keep me in mind.
That really goes back to the previous couple of podcasts when we talk about, you know, when you're the different ways that you can engage your customers and make them feel special. It's, you know, you include that cap with their shirt order. You know, you include, you know, an extra shirt for the coach when you deliver a, you know, an order for the team. You do something special, do something unique, or offer them something for free that is completely unexpected. And, you know, it kind of builds that social contract that you're
talking about. Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it's the same reason why they give away the cookie sample is because, for one, they want you to know for sure that they make great cookies.
Yes.
Right? But then as soon as you get one, you feel a little bit compelled to take an action with them. Well, if I'm not going to buy a cookie, I at least should tell some people.
Yeah.
You know, so they might even have a sign, you know, tell your friends.
It makes me buy one of those diet drinks.
That's good. Well, so that's a little bit of a summary of reciprocity.
Yeah.
So what you should do in practice for this would be to find a way to either give away something for free.
Yep.
And request something in return. And it should be very deliberate on what that is. So if you give away a free cap or you do embroidered patch and you give that away with an order,
yep.
You know, this is to current customers because we're upselling customers. You give this to them and you say, when you need patches or if you'd like some patches, give me a call. By the way, please refer me to any of your friends or colleagues.
Right.
And so you're asking for a couple things there. And even if they are not, if they don't have the budget to buy the patches or the caps, maybe they don't have the money for that in their, you know, if it's like a little league, they don't have the extra money to buy patches too.
Yes.
However, because you gave that for free, that person will feel more compelled, and rightfully so, to refer you to somebody.
I like that. Yeah. And, you know, if somebody out there that is part of the Custom Apparel Startups podcast, just go through and you can comment in the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group. You can comment right in the Facebook group if you'd like. So if you are just tuning in, because it's the live feed is everywhere in the different streams, if you are just tuning in, we are Mark and Mark from Custom Apparel Startups podcast, and we're talking about the science of upselling, persuasion, and ways to talk to your customers.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, awesome.
We've just talked about reciprocity. Now we're going to move on to consistency. Now, all of these techniques, this ways of talking to your customers that we're going to discuss today work independently of each other,
mm-hmm.
but they work even better when you put them in combination. So doing one of these things is great. Doing all of these things is a ticket to more money.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, absolutely. And it's little bits here and there. Keep on working towards it. So second one is consistency. And what this means is people like to remain consistent over time. This is true for so many things. It's brands. It's what's your favorite coffee. It's your favorite phone. It's your politics. It's your religion. Yeah. It's everything. People like to remain consistent.
Even if you pride yourself on being inconsistent, you're being consistent
It's just the way it works. And so especially when we're public about it.
Right.
So somebody is more likely to adhere to their actions, beliefs, habits, especially when they've publicly expressed it.
You've staked your reputation on it. And we've got a couple of good examples.
Yeah. And the one that I like that we talked about is the phone one.
Yeah.
So if you, you mentioned that, you know, probably what you did not do was buy an iPhone and buy a Samsung, test them out for 6 months apiece, a half day at a time.
Pick the one that you like.
And pick the one that was perfect for you. You purchased one for whatever reason. It doesn't matter.
I mean, if you've got a beard, you probably have an iPhone.
I would guess so.
You know.
So you've purchased the iPhone and then you've told a bunch of people how great it is.
Yeah.
You've posted on social media that you love your phone, that you just got it. You send emails that say, sent from my iPhone.
Yep.
So you've kind of displayed to the world, you've reviewed the phone, you know, on Apple's page.
And it kind of becomes part of your identity.
Yes.
Like, I'm an iPhone user.
And
I'm an Android user.
Exactly. And then you have some pride in this.
Yep.
And you are, when you go to buy a new phone, you're going to probably remain consistent to that band.
You're not starting over.
Yes.
Right? And by the way, it works on the other side as well. I am famously not an iPhone user. And just the fact that I say it that way means that that's become part of my own personal brand and my identity. I don't use an iPhone. I argue with my kids all the time.
Yeah.
We always give each other a hard time. So is there any chance that I'm going to buy an iPhone next? No, there's no
slim.
Chance.
And this is why, because even this is where it really comes down deep, right?
Yeah.
Is that, let's say you see the new commercial for the new iPhone that came out.
Right.
And you go online, you do a little research, just you're up late at night and you're kind of flipping. And you're like, man, I like that feature. I like that.
Yeah.
And you're thinking in your head, I actually like this phone. Yeah. There is no way I'm going to let my daughters know that I am going to buy an iPhone, right? I mean, you're not going to do it.
No. But, I mean, in reality, all those features that I like, it would have been on last year's iPhone.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, that if you're not a phone person, then, you know, maybe it's cars. You know, maybe you've always driven a Ford.
Yep.
Or you're a Mustang guy, or you only buy SUVs. You know, and you may have rationale, but one of the big motivators behind that is this need that people have for consistency. And the reason that we're talking about this is if you can develop that kind of consistency in your customers, then it just makes it easier to keep them as customers. It kind of snowballs. It's easier to add that cap to the next order. They'll add more shirts to the next order. They will do whatever they can to reinforce that original decision that they made to go with you.
Yes, and especially if they say it publicly.
Yeah.
So if, and this is why it's really important for you to ask your customers to, will you share on your Facebook or on your Twitter? Will you take a picture and post it to Instagram that I'm, you know, your embroiderer, your t-shirt person, or I'm the person that makes your caps, that I'm your go-to person?
Yeah.
That it really, for one, it is going to help your business.
Yes.
And for two, it solidifies them to help them really remember why they made that decision in the first place and why they do like working with you. And then that locks it in.
Yeah.
And so if you go and you visit one of your customers and it's a decent sized company and you meet with the owner, the decision maker, and they introduce you around as, oh yeah, this is our t-shirt. This is our t-shirt guy. This is our t-shirt woman right here. You've now solidified that decision with that person. They've made it public. So it can be public in a way of social media.
Yeah.
It can be public as just telling friends and family.
Yeah.
You can be encouraged to be introduced to the Little League team.
Right.
You know, whatever you do, whoever is the person that's making the decision and you're doing business with, you know, work with them to get them to share publicly that you're their person.
And I'm sure you guys have all experienced this as well. Like that pride that you get when you make a recommendation and somebody follows it. So, you know, great new place in Tampa called the Armature Works.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there twice. I talk about it all the time. Somebody else goes and we immediately have a connection. You know, and I feel better because I know I found something good and I convinced somebody else to go and I know they enjoyed it.
Yep.
So that kind of reinforces things for me. And on the other side of that, though, if you and this isn't really upselling, it's more getting that customer.
Okay.
Is they may have that consistency, that relationship with another vendor. But once you recognize the motivation behind what they're doing, you know, the fact that they may just be keeping up with that other t-shirt vendor, embroidery vendor, or whatever it is, they may just continue to do business with them from a force of habit because they've committed to being their customer, because they've announced that publicly. So you've got to strategize a little bit differently maybe and recognize that. And, you know, maybe you could do, so, you know, look, I know that you're an iPhone guy, but if they ever disappoint you, you know, I mean, you might look at Samsung.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great stuff. I'm happy to be here for you when you're ready. You know, if they can't fill an order, that's no problem. I understand that's your guy. I just want to be like your guy.
Because you're also, when you learn this stuff and you think about it on a larger level, you're also, you know, realizing that they already have some consistency built somewhere.
Yeah.
And our league or our school already uses somebody. We already have a company that we use. They've got some consistency happening.
Yeah.
They may even have reciprocity that they feel an obligation to go back because the last time they did a rush order for them.
Yeah.
Or they gave them some free apparel for a charity walk. So you're needing to also break through persuasion that's happened somewhere else.
And you know, last thing I'll say about
okay.
this. And it's it goes by it also goes back to the introduction. You know, we are doing the Custom Apparel Startups podcast, episode 68. We're live on Facebook and YouTube. And one of the places that we're live is on the Custom Apparel Startups Facebook group. And a great place to see that stickiness of consistency is there because I'm with Cold Essie and we sell embroidery machines mm-hmm. and direct garment printers and bling machines and a lot of stuff. Mark is the Coleman Company guy and he runs e-commerce and they sell the digital heat effects and all of that. Whenever a question is asked on one of the groups, what kind of embroidery machine should I get? No one says, well, I use an XYZ brand, but I think this brand is better.
No one will ever say that.
Yeah. What they'll say is, oh, I've had Tajimas for years, or I own an Avance, or I own a Melco, or I own a Brother DTG printer. And it's not like they bought two printers or two embroidery machines and compared them side by side for years and decided that this was the best one. No, they made that original decision. It's worked out okay. So now they have that consistency. They've got that stickiness.
Yeah.
So look for that in potential customers so you'll know what you're up against and try to inspire that in your existing customers so they'll continue to buy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the biggest takeaway here is that anytime you can get your current customers that are happy, that like working with you, that you've taken care of, that you've given a really fair deal and a great garment, that requests that they somehow publicly mention you and share that, whether that's social media, at a public event, in their business, wherever it is, get them to say it out loud or type it or write it somewhere, introduce you to people, and that's going to help lock that in, that relationship's better. And how do you upsell with that is now, you know, you're the person. You're the person that they trust. You're the person that they go to. You are their expert, and now they'll go ahead and they're more likely to buy other things that you offer.
So
Which is great. If you do embroidery now and then you turn and you offer heat transfer vinyl or digital transfers or something to that effect, then when you contact them and say, hey, by the way, I now offer t-shirts as well, they're very likely to continue to work with
you. And that's a great kind of segue into way number three that you should be talking to your customers or some ways to talk to them to inspire more sales, and that is social proof.
Yeah, so before I get into that, Myra Rowland said good morning to us.
Good morning,
on
Myra.
Facebook, so we should say good morning back.
I think so.
We appreciate you coming to listen along with everybody else who's listening live or recorded. So thank you very much. And
no, I'm just going to say thanks to the live.
Just to the live
recorded
people.
Forget it.
And this podcast is there's no charge for this podcast. It's free. We do a lot of research ahead of time, and we spend a lot of time to give you great content. So what I would ask in return is if you could share this with some other folks in the industry that you know or just other small business owners to help educate them. But also it's good for us and our viewership and listenership.
Yes. And we're going to talk about social proof. So if you are an iTunes person, then definitely rate us on iTunes.
Yeah, that's
definitely
that'd be great.
Us there. Okay.
Well, so social proof. So when we are going to make a decision, we are likely to make a decision that kind of the crowd that other people have made.
It's 100% of the time.
So if all of it, we can go to the phone. If all of your friends have iPhones and you, this is the first time you're going to be buying a phone. I don't know what world this is, but I'm just saying this is the first time you're buying a phone.
Yeah.
You're more than likely to buy an iPhone like your friend.
You're seven.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the first time you buy a phone.
If you go to a food truck rally, which is big nowadays, and there are 12 trucks and all of them have two people online, but that one has six people online, that place has got something good.
Yeah.
You know, like they've got something going on. I know it's a longer line, but I'm more than likely to get into the line. It's also the as people do what others do. It's also why a musician on the street will seed his hat or her hat with dollars.
Yeah.
But this way, when somebody walks by, other people are giving this great musician a dollar.
You never see an empty chip jar at Starbucks.
Nope.
They always put a buck in there or something like that just to get people started. And that's kind of the social proof. And, you know, it's kind of like the pay it forward thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, where if you try this experiment. If you go through a toll booth, you pay for the person behind you. It's rather likely that they'll pay for the person behind them.
Yeah,
you know, they're getting some kind of you know, you when you witness those things or you experience those things, you're more likely to do the same because that's what's happening.
Yeah. So how does this come in turn into sales and upselling? Right. So what you need to do is you need to be able to facilitate an environment where you have social proofs. And that goes back to the consistency. If you have your customers review you online or on Facebook or on your website,
yeah,
or if you have a store and you have a board up where people can write thank you notes or whatever it might be, pictures of them in the apparel, you're creating social proofs.
Yeah.
So if you have, if you work with a local dance teams and you make all of their apparel, if you can get pictures of all the schools,
yeah,
at an event with all the apparel you made.
Look
you
at all these people.
Yeah, and you, yeah, have a giant wall. That's social proof. Somebody walks in, they're not sure if they're ready to make a purchase through you. They look on the wall, they see the social proof. Look at all that great apparel, and look at all these people who have made the decision that I'm
going to
make.
I keep going back to the car dealership thing because I think it's such an interesting little laboratory for, mm-hmm, sales techniques. And, you know, you'll still run into some salespeople today that when you buy the car, they like to take a picture of you with the car.
Yeah. Okay.
And
yeah,
they do that because they can share it and say, oh, look at all these people I made happy. You know, look at all these smiling customers. There's nobody's in tears in the finance office or anything like that. You know, I mean, it's good social proof. It's and if you've been to trade shows, which, you know, we've done thousands over the years, if you've been to trade shows, you'll know that no one ever goes over to a booth that no one's at.
Yeah, that's very true. An empty booth.
An empty booth, because, oh, geez, I'm not even going to try.
Yeah, so how do you create some social proofs? Here are some simple things you could do. For one, ask people to like, mention, share, review you on social media,
yes,
wherever that might be, wherever you are. You take pictures, and if you have a store, whether you have a store or not, actually, because this also works for social media as well,
yeah,
take pictures of you with your customers wearing their apparel. So if you have a team of people, a company that you, hey, can I come by your shop,
yeah,
and take a picture of everybody one morning with all the apparel that I made, that we made together, whatever you want to say, and share that. So you share that online, you share it in person, you have some sort of even if it's just like actual physical things in your store, you can have books,
yeah,
with thank you letters. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is, but you need to have social proofs and have a lot of them. So have them online and offline. Have them be pictures, reviews.
Yeah.
And then social proof can also happen actually just in real time.
Okay.
So you go to a local chamber of commerce event if you've joined.
Yes.
And maybe you make apparel for a few people. And as you're being introduced, you know, you kind of say, you know, oh, by the way, I make custom apparel. I do hats and T-shirts.
Yeah.
You know, and you're standing next to Mark. Oh, you know Mark. I do all his stuff.
Yeah.
How do I do?
Yeah.
You know? And get Mark to, you know, say, so now Mark will say,
and
do
and,
a great job.
And, you know, speaking of trade shows, that's what happens at a lot of trade shows is, you know, people will give away shirts that has their brand on it. And if you wear the shirt, they will give you a prize.
Yeah.
And for the rest of the day, they get, have you seen all the people walking around with my shirt on? That's social proof.
Yeah.
And speaking of social proof, I think I did not say good morning to Terry Smalley.
Oh, well, thank you.
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Terry. Thanks for joining us live. Thanks to everybody for joining us live. And thanks for the folks listening to the recording, too. I like them just as much.
Do you really?
I do.
Okay. You're much easier than I am. Okay, so that's social proof. I think, you know, reciprocity. You know, we talked about consistency, we talked about social proof is equally important. And all of those three things and what we're going to talk about next, if you think about these while you're doing business every day, if, you know, while you're updating products on your website, you think about these, while you're talking to somebody about selling transfers or rhinestone designs, if you think about these things and employ them, you'll start to notice it's easier to do business. People will respond to you, and you'll be able to sell a little bit more.
Yeah.
And that's the goal here. That's why we're doing all this stuff, to convince people to buy from you as opposed to anybody else, and to convince people, you know, to encourage people to buy more.
Yeah, and it's important that you do a good job when all of this too.
Yeah.
You know, it's important that you follow all the other things that we've talked about in our podcasts.
Right.
So this only works when you also are delivering a good product and you yes. are confident in the product and you set expectations correct for your customers and right. what to expect out of your products, yeah. how to wash them, whatever they might be. So yes. it all ties together. But next one is likability.
Yeah, this one's tough.
Yeah, this one's easy.
it's easy for us because all we do is marketing.
Yeah.
All we do is sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. So we've spent our whole careers getting along with people. That's basically our job. Not all of you are that likable.
No, actually.
I have to, especially the people that aren't watching live. Those more, a higher percentage of them
really?
Are not likable. It's the way it works.
We're combative.
You're in your car. Well, I'm not as likable as you are.
Well, so what I'd say is, so this can be simple, but a challenge. For one, you should be nice to your customers. Oh. You should answer your phone in a way that makes it seem like you're a business and you are happy that they call.
Yes, please, please do that.
Yeah, your email signature. I mean, this goes back to so many things.
Yeah.
Your email
signature. We have a list of pet peeves.
Shouldn't be this long, big.
Of things you won't do.
Yeah, things that you won't do.
People you don't want to hear from.
Yeah, people don't, you know, all of that stuff, you know. What be likable. So yeah. So shake people's hands, smile when you talk to them, answer the phone in a pleasant way, thank people for giving their business,
Absolutely.
Send a thank you note. Whenever you are quoting somebody and for a job, you know, make sure that you're letting them know all the reasons why, you know, you've made this choice. This
yeah.
I've chosen this shirt, you know, because of this. Actually, I want you to have, you mentioned to me that shirts being able to wash, being washed a bunch of times is
yeah.
important to you. This is why I've chosen this brand for you.
Yes.
This brand's going to be better for you. So what you're doing is you're educating your customer. You are making, you're being a an expert. You're
yeah.
being friendly. You're being likable.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're not doing this. Here's a free hat that I am giving to you because,
yeah.
you know, I mean, you really have to relate to people and, you know, treat your customers as if they were your friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got a lot of customers online right now. We've got people on the Customer Apparel Startups book that we chat with on the weekends, you know, on Facebook. And our the people in our sales departments do the same thing. If anyone is not likable, if you don't feel good about talking to somebody else, then you're just not going to buy anything from them. Or you're going to buy the smallest thing you can, like this hat,
yeah.
and then just leave.
And this really, as a business owner, this can work in a complete circle. So
right.
it's not just about you being likable to your customers, but it's about being likable in general as your own personal brand.
Yeah.
Because you will get referrals from people who will never buy from you for whatever reason, right? They're just not your customer.
Right.
They're never going to buy from you. However, they might refer you. And this goes, and I'm just going to say this. This is for the same for when you're calling to order supplies.
Right.
You should be nice to the person that's on the phone and be likable. Because those people also get phone calls from other folks who say, do you know anybody in New York who does this? Because
I
you know, I only do t-shirts, but I need bling. Do you know anybody in New York?
Yeah.
And guess who they do not want to send referrals to?
Anyone in New York?
Well, anyone who's not likable, but it's not mutually exclusive.
No, okay.
But be likable all the way around. It's going to help you get business. It's going to help you grow your business. But in the upselling spin on that, when you're likable, you are more likely to be trusted. You're more likely to be seen as an expert. You're more likely to hear the word yes when you request something. Likability affects all of that stuff. So if you're particularly likable, and you treat your customers well, and then you turn around and you say, hey, we've got a new garment that came out for 2018. It's different than you did before.
Yep.
The shirts are $5 more a piece. I know that's more, you know, you're going to spend more in your budget, especially when you're ordering 100 shirts. I understand that.
Right.
But trust me on this, this shirt is much nicer.
Yeah.
You know, or it could just be on upselling the caps. Hey, a lot of my customers, you know, social proof, are buying these caps.
Yep.
I think that it's a great decision for you, especially for your workers who work outside in the sun, and I can give you a really good deal on them XYZ.
Yeah, and people are just, I mean, you should try to be likable, I think, personally. But, you know, from a business perspective, people buy and they buy more from people that they like.
And companies that they like.
Yeah, yeah.
And which is like kind of going back to actually both the Samsung and the iPhone brand is they do a particularly good job of making sure that you like their brand.
Yeah.
That they are likable as an inanimate object or just as a brand. So their commercials might be witty or funny or inspiring. When they do their speeches and their announcements, you know, they want to be likable because they want you to not only buy a product that you're going to enjoy and that you've are consistent in buying, but they also just want to make sure that like you feel really good when buying it because you want to give your money to that company.
I mean, I really liked when Samsung let me know that if I bought one of their phones, it might explode.
Oh, really?
So that, that I really, nice. I liked that. I thought they were being very friendly when they said that.
Well, that's a good segue.
I think so, because the next thing is authority. That we're going to talk about.
So people have a tendency to obey authority figures.
Okay.
Even if the authority figure isn't even that trustworthy or that great, if they're an authority, then people are more likely to listen to what that person has to say.
Right. And by authority, you know, let's make that mean any recognizable name.
Any recognizable name.
Really?
Yeah, and recognizable name or brand.
Yeah.
So if say Apple, you know, or Starbucks or any brand that you know that's recognizable turns around and recommends another company.
Yes.
So if you got if you magically were to get Starbucks to say that you make the best t-shirts, you would get tons of business just because Starbucks as an authority says, well, Starbucks has a bunch of stores.
It's almost like social proof on steroids in that circumstance.
Absolutely. Yeah. So how do you do this on a local scale, on a small business scale? Is authority within your town. Do you have do you make custom garments for the mayor's husband or wife?
Yeah.
You know, is there a large business or a league or a school that you do business for?
For example, you could say that if you are, you know, you're in a local business here in Tampa and it's a pretty big business and they're all, you know, it's a white collar thing, maybe you're talking to attorneys or something like that. And you might just name drop and you might just say, you know what, you know, I just finished a really big order for this other company in town, or I just finished a really big order for the Tampa Police Department or for the University of South Florida. You know, I'd be happy to, I just finished that order. I'm ready to do yours if you're ready.
Yeah. Okay. And it's like, well, if the police department,
if the university did this, you know, you've got, so that's kind of the authority.
Yep.
Just in saying those words, what you said is that this other organization or company has tried me out. They approve. They buy my stuff. Shouldn't you?
Yes. And I loved how you said it's like the social proof on steroids, because that's what it is. It's the equivalent of, you know, one big brand or one big company or one large authority can be equivalent of 100 or more, you know, individual people that are strangers.
Yeah.
So this is a great reason to, you know, join local social groups or chamber of commerce, different things like that, participate in events, because if you can turn around and say, well, the local, you know, the Tampa Bay Attorneys Alliance, I do all of this. I don't even know if that's a thing.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure it is now.
I do all of their apparel. For them, you know, for all of their events. So for one, it's you can name drop as part of it.
Yep.
Further, if you can get the authority to actually post to your social media or write you a review, that's fantastic, because you can say, here, look at my, you know, somebody's in your store, you're talking to them in person, you bring up your phone, here's my reviews, I got a ton of customers. Look, the Tampa Bay Attorney Alliance gave me five stars.
But let's, you know, put ourselves in some of their shoes, and it is custom apparel startups.
Okay.
So let's say you don't have any of that. You know, you just bought a cutter from Coleman and Company, which I highly recommend, by the way. Cut and Press from Coleman
and
Company.
Yeah, and if you wouldn't mind some social proof on that, we survey our customers, and the last time we surveyed, approximately 70% of them owned a cutter, and another 15 or 20% said that they wanted to buy a cutter.
Okay.
So if you are in the custom apparel business, and you are considering expanding or you want to take your business to the next level, most people own a cutting plotter. So what I'd say is the social proof on that is that a lot of people are doing that, and it's probably a good decision for your business because
of that. And you know what, too, while we're on this.
Okay.
You know what, too, what I'll say is, you know, Mark Veal and I have done almost 69 hours of content specifically to help out small businesses.
Yep.
Specifically to help get people into the custom apparel business and to help be successful. One of the things that you could do if you like the podcast and you like the CIS group and all that stuff is you could find something at Coleman & Company to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be reciprocity.
Yeah.
Because we're offering you a service with no expectations of gain. You know, and then if you are inspired in some way to buy from us, then we appreciate it.
Yeah.
And once you do, I promise you will always be a Coldesi and Coleman & Company customer. That's consistency.
It's great. It's fantastic. And that's part of why we do this, is for the reciprocity. We want to give you something. We don't expect anything or demand anything in return at all.
And one of us is likable.
Yeah. Well, one
at least half of the people here.
But if you are going to get a heat press or a cutter or vinyl or a digital printer or whatever it might be for your next purchase, then we'd love for you to call or visit ColemanandCompany.com. And I think Ella just joined, so I wanted to say hi to her as well.
Yeah, the daughter.
Yeah,
that's
so
great. So the other thing about authority and just keeping on this example is, you know, not that many people know this, but we've provided embroidery machines for big companies like Nike and Perry Ellis. And we've got direct-to-garment printers at Levi's. And, you know, we've got some of the biggest apparel companies in the world use Coldesi products in their businesses every day, and they buy all of the supplies for those products from Coleman & Company. So that's kind of our appeal to authority. When we name drop, it's because there's a big, there's a big rap artist that does personal apparel with a Pro Spangle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, so we do all of these things, and it becomes kind of natural. You can stop thinking about these specifically after you've worked on them for a little bit. It just kind of happens.
Yeah, and what you're doing is you're just getting better at letting your customers know what it's like to do business with you. That it's a good decision. And it's a good decision for a lot of reasons. For one, you know, and we'll just go from the top. You know, for one, you're going to do nice things for them and not expect anything in return or demand it.
Right.
You're going to be consistent to them. They're going to be consistent back to you. Other people are going to be purchasing from you. Therefore, there's a proof that others out there like you. You are likable. You do the nice things for people. You act in a way that people want to give you their money and purchase things from you. And you've got you try to build authority or get some proof from authority. So if you are a startup, it is a really, you know, one of the best things you can do if you want to try to gain that appeal of authority is to go out there and find a name. Whether it is a local celebrity or a local large business or any group that you can get to do some business with you. Mm-hmm. And it might just start off with giving them something for free.
Yeah, it could be anything. You can, and you know, just for a new business, the way that you could talk about this is you could say, you know what? I was just dropping off a sample at the University of South Florida.
Yeah.
I just visited Tampa Electric Company to talk to them about their apparel.
Yeah.
They're not my customers, but I am talking to them. I'm trying to get that business. You're not saying that. You're just using those names to give you a little bit of extra authority that normally a startup wouldn't have.
Yeah. I have a meeting with I've got a meeting with the, the local attorney alliance.
Yeah.
I could stop by your shop after that.
Yeah, that's
great. You definitely don't want to deceive in any of this. However, if the local university is giving you a shot to have a meeting with them,
it just says something about your company already.
Yeah, it already says something about
you. There's 50 people working in their basements who are not doing that. So you've already stepped out and deserve that extra little polish that the authority can give you.
Yeah, absolutely. So do it. And then last one. And then we'll probably have we got about 6-7 minutes left, I think. In the
podcast, we don't have a lot of time to talk about scarcity. Did you get that?
That was amazing, actually. I'm kind of blown away for a moment. Okay, scarcity. So things are more attractive when they're limited.
Yeah.
Okay. If you might not be able to get one, you kind of want it more.
Yeah. And, or if you're one of the only people that gets one, or one of the few people that has the opportunity.
And here is this, an example that almost anybody can feel, if you want to feel the emotion behind this, is if you were in middle school or elementary school or high school, and you had somebody who kind of liked you, but you really weren't into them, you didn't like them back, and then all of a sudden they got a boyfriend or a girlfriend.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the emotion changed.
I feel you you're warning Ella, you're schooling Ella about this stuff for
but that happens, right? Okay. And it's because all of a sudden, well, when this person was available and liked me, I really wasn't interested. There was no scarcity to that. But then now that there was somebody else, well, I don't like that. And that's kind of like an emotional thing that happens with young adults and young children.
Yeah, but
that's the first time you really, I think, emotionally feel that.
But why do you think Starbucks only does pumpkin spice lattes for one season of the year? I mean, it's not like the ingredients are especially expensive. It's just that they've identified that if they only offer it for a little limited time, then it's more special. And it will cause people that will normally not buy to buy. It will appeal to that kind of consistency. Like, I love this one. I get it every year.
Yep.
You know, it's a great way to talk to your customers about your products by emphasizing the availability or lack of availability. You know, like, I've got 200 of these Anvil 980 shirts that everybody wears in the back. But you know what? I've got 12 of this new model that just came out. I've only got 12 right now, but I'd love for you to have them.
Yeah, and
you know,
and
that's scarcity.
Yeah, and it could be, you know, just there's so much in this little scarcity world that can, and it doesn't have to be false. It can be very true.
Absolutely.
And we talked about it a little bit in the last podcast where we said that that what you can do is when you order caps, if it's a style that you think you can sell again.
Yep.
That if your customer needs 60 of them, you order 75. Now you've got 15 caps. You didn't have to pay shipping on them because your order maybe got free shipping.
Yep.
You bought a case, so maybe you got some extra case pricing. You saved a little bit of money. So there's a lot of reasons to do that, right?
Yep.
And now you've got these caps at a limited availability that you can offer a deal on. So when you talk to somebody that you're trying to upsell to, and you say, hey, I can get you any cap in this catalog. I've got 15 of these that I can actually get you at a special price. Because, and you could be very transparent.
Yeah.
When I order things, I sometimes order in a large run. I always order a little
extra,
bit more so I can give my customers that I really like a special deal.
Yeah.
So if you pick this cap, I can actually give you $3 off per cap or whatever it is. And they get excited. They're going to say, well, I'd love that deal. So they're going to go ahead and make the decision to purchase.
Yep.
When they may have said no before. We go, oh, you got to order them. Oh, they're going to be, there's a charge for that. Oh, yeah. You know, all these things add up. You know what? I can get those anytime, right? Yeah, you can. You know, but when it's, no, I can do 15 caps for you now at this price until I sell these. Right. So I can't do this for you anytime. I can give you this special deal. I can give you a super fast delivery because I have them in stock. And I can give you a special deal. So I can have these to you by, it's 10 o'clock now. I can have them to you by 3 o'clock today.
Yeah.
That's scarce.
Yeah.
Because they'll never be, but they will rarely be able to get that from you.
And this is great because it also kind of builds on that reciprocity.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a good customer of ours, because you're already doing business with us, you know, I'm going to do this little extra thing for you.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a lot. I want to offer them to you. It's a great deal. So really what you've done is you've upsold them. You've sold them more or something different than they normally would that is better for you, and you've also kind of inspired and started that reciprocity chain because you offered this to them specifically, not sent out a general coupon. I'm talking to you and I'm offering you this deal, you know, and then they're going to do something for you in the future.
Yeah, it all ties together.
Oh, he gives me the best deals.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's my guy because, like, I got the special hat deal. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, and it's so true. And it's really, it's fantastic when you combine all of these things together. In the last episode, we talked about in couponing. And we said one of the things you could do is if June is really busy for you, you can offer a coupon deal or a special deal for people to do business with you in May. It frees up time in June for you to sell more, and it makes you less busy. And in May, you get some business now.
Yeah.
Right? So there's a good reason to do that. Listen to that podcast for the full explanation. I promise it's a good one.
It's good.
But with that...
I mean, it was better live.
It was better live.
But, you know,
of course
you
it was.
You can't watch it live.
But with that, with this, when you're talking about that like coupon for May, it's only available in May in the time slots I've got available to make apparel. So if you want to be one of the people that gets this special deal, which means it's probably, there's about 2 weeks left, you know, so you're just a hypothetical situation. There's 2 weeks left in the month. I've got room for about three more jobs to fit in about the size that you normally order. So if you order now, I can get you into one of those slots and I can save you 10%. The time is scarce and the deal saving is scarce. They can't get that in 2 weeks.
Yeah, and you know what? The last company that took advantage of that was the University of South Florida.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, the like we said in the beginning, and once again, this is the Science of Upselling. It's the Custom Apparel Startups podcast. Like I said in the beginning, each one of these things, scarcity, consistency, social proof, likability, authority, and reciprocity, each one of these things works great by itself. They will individually help you sell more. You may not even notice this happening, but in a year, in 6 months or something, you're going to look at your bottom line and it's going to be better. But once you start combining them the way we've been summing things up in the past few strategy instances, then your business will really
grow. And all of this stuff is going to, it's all going to help you get one more deal, you know, quickly.
Yeah.
It's going to help you get that one more sale, that one more order, that one more customer that you weren't going to get before. And oftentimes that I noticed is it's not when you improve your sales and you do well, it's generally not because you just did one magic thing. And that's, you know, that does happen. And you're going to hear those stories.
Yeah.
You know, for a local t-shirt shop, they got a contract here and all of a sudden, you know, they went from having, you know, running in their garage to, you know, having a big giant warehouse because they got one big account. But that's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
The rule is generally that you do a lot of little things. You make great apparel. You're likable. You treat customers well. You attempt to upsell. You learn. You listen and learn.
Yeah.
Like with this podcast, you do a lot of things, and all of them add. It's like one more customer here, one more here, one more here, and it snowballs up. You get more customers, more referrals, more reviews, more opportunities.
It's kind of the point of the whole podcast.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah. So, what else? Do we have anything else to wrap up or
no? I think that's it. The only thing I'll say to everybody is that we do appreciate you listening and watching, and look for us next week at 9:30 on a Tuesday as well, and then put Wednesday on your calendar, the 28th.
Okay, Wednesday,
probably
the 28th.
10 a.m.
I haven't done that on my calendar.
We're going to have some special guests. It's going to be great. So I hope you will join us then as well.
Is it going to be some sort of authority?
It is, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Is it going to be a celebrity? I don't know.
It depends on the business that you're in. Okay.
Right,
so this
good.
Has
Thanks.
Been Mark Stevenson from Cold Essie
and Mark Vila from Coleman & Company.
You guys have a great business.
Yeah. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.